Hello, and welcome to the Austin Therapy Podcast. I'm Kate. I have a background in psychology, and I have read all of Jane Austen, and I am joined by
Teresa. And I have a background in social work and no experience reading Jane Austen except for the chapters we've already read.
And today we are talking about chapter 44, 45, and 46 of Pride and Prejudice.
Gosh, these were some juicy chapters. You laid this out well, Kate. You stopped us at a good point where, like, I'm feeling okay. They're headed home. It's going to be fine. I mean, it's not going to be fine, but it's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But also still, I want more. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about chapter 46 before we get to that. So we just left off. Darcy was like, hey, I want you to meet my sister. And Lizzie's like, okay, cool. And there's like some vibing happening between the two of them. Darcy's like a little more laid back. The last few chapters, he gave me very much schoolboy crush type feelings.
Sweet little puppy dog.
Yeah. Puppy dog wants to kind of like follow you around a little bit, like a little anxious, a little excited, but I'm a cool puppy dog. I'm not too cool, but I'm a cool puppy dog. I think it's really endearing that he's, oh, you should meet my sister, especially for someone who has turned him down and has refused his proposal and essentially told him like, no, you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
I'm not going to marry you. And he's like, I'd love you for you to meet my sister because you think I'm an asshole. It's kind of a strange thing. And there's this sweet moment where Lizzie's like, cool, they'll probably come by like the next day, whatever. And Darcy brings Georgiana right away.
Mm-hmm. He's like, come on, get out of your traveling clothes. We're going right now.
Which is so sweet. But also, I'm just trying to picture, like, what does that conversation look like in the Darcy household? Georgiana just got off of the carriage and Darcy's like, come on, let's go. Let's go. He's like, I just imagine him rushing her along and being like, we gotta go meet Lizzie. It's time. We gotta go.
This is where some of the debate comes in as to whether or not Darcy has told Georgiana about the girl that he has a huge crush on. Because there's a 10-year age gap between the two of them. He may or may not be sharing it with her.
Yeah. I think like gender dynamics probably play into that too in this era. He's the older brother who's also her guardian.
I think it is a really cute idea that he went home sobbing and like hiding away in his room. And Georgiana was like, are you okay?
Do you think he went home and sobbed?
You don't think he at least pouted? He probably was pretty angry for a little while and a grumpy, grumpy, grumpy guy.
Totally. I think it impacted him. I just don't picture him going home, throwing himself on the bed and being like, she doesn't love me. Like, I don't imagine him being that emotive or that sentimental.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think it would be a lot of internal brooding.
So it's Darcy brooding in the corner and Georgiana being like, okay, I've had enough of this. Right. What is going on? And that Darcy kind of spills the story about Lizzie and that he's in love with the girl. And then when Georgiana pulls up, he's like, oh, you'll never guess what happened. And it's an exciting sort of thing.
I think so. I mean, it's a little hard to tell, though, from Georgiana's reaction, because it's talked about like how shy she is. I envision being the sister, if I knew that this was like the object of my brother's affection, that maybe there'd be some tell in there. But there's just, Lizzie doesn't read that from Georgiana at all.
So as someone with some pretty severe social anxiety.
Me too.
Right? Woohoo, mental health professionals with social anxiety. Da, 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 da.
I love that song.
Knowing that this person is important to Darcy probably would make me more shy as his sister. I would feel so much more pressure and therefore I would shut down more. I'm thinking as a 16-year-old too, I would probably shrink and try not to be noticed.
Right.
Because I wouldn't want to make a mistake.
Well, and it is mentioned that Darcy has spoken very highly of Lizzie to Georgiana. I think we hear about that in chapter 45 when Carolyn's kind of dissing her. And Georgiana, it's just in the narrative that Georgiana's like, yeah, but my brother likes this person. He's a pretty good character reference. He knows people pretty well. So clearly they've talked about it in some way. Or Georgiana knows her brother so well, she just sees it, which everyone kind of does right now.
Well, I think that's the thing. Darcy, I don't think, is someone who goes around and gets crushes.
Right.
So when Darcy comes home and he's like, Elizabeth this and Elizabeth that, she would probably pick up on it.
I can just picture Darcy trying to find ways to name drop her into conversations. And in that infatuation kind of way of when you're like really into someone, you just try and find a way to bring them up or talk about them or tell a funny anecdote as much as you possibly can, which is cute.
Yeah, Darcy, I think, is really cute in this moment. Yeah.
Can we also just talk about, though, the amount of social anxiety that both Darcy and Georgiana have? What did their house look like growing up?
What happened to you little babies?
Right? They grew up in society. They're a prominent family. And both of them have this crippling anxiety, which just comes off as being proud, which is clear to me that it's social anxiety because the people who know them best have very different opinions of them and don't view them as proud. I think about Darcy's housekeeper talking very highly of him and that he's just like a wonderful, really lovely, nice person versus the opinion that everyone back home has of him because he's a little standoffish. He's shy and it comes off as proud. And I mean, I wonder if it would come off as proud if he didn't have as much money.
I mean, Darcy is a jerk.
Yes. I think there's both though. I think like he gets read more proud than he actually is.
Definitely. And it makes you kind of wonder how were they socialized? Mm-hmm. And that they were never taught social niceties so that they're not rude. You can still be shy, but you don't have to be rude. Right. Because even in like chapter 45, some of the things Georgiana does, like not speaking up and not being the most attentive hostess in terms of like serving people when the food comes and needing a little nudge. If you didn't know she was shy, those things could be seen or perceived as being proud.
Right.
Because you might think she thinks she's above you when in reality, she's paralyzed with crippling fear of doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, she just doesn't know. And I think about, we don't quite know when Darcy's parents died, do we?
Yeah, we know when Mr. Darcy died, Mr. Darcy Sr., because she was 10.
Okay, so it's been 6 years since, I wonder, particularly in Georgiana's case, when their mom died. We don't know when, but if that's supposed to be her role model in how to engage in society, and certainly Pride and Prejudice has lots of great examples of how not to act like your parents, I do wonder if some of that was, she's just missed that experience and missed being able to see how her parents engage in the world. And if her parental figure is Darcy and he's that much older, he hasn't really, like he's around, but he's not around all the time, right? It's not like he's taking her everywhere he goes. Someone of her status not knowing how to interact at a party makes sense if she's never seen someone of her status interact at a party.
So she would have been away at school, and we know that she was up until around a year ago. So she would have been exposed to her peers there.
But her peers, but not necessarily a parental figure who's showing what things could be like or should not be like. There's a moment when Lizzie sees her again, when they go to the house, and Lizzie talks about feeling pity for Georgiana because she's so painfully shy. And I had a little bit of a reaction of, I don't know if we need to feel pity for people who are socially anxious. And I think some of that was my own internalized, like, I'm a socially anxious person, but I don't need your pity. But I also found myself reading through that being like, I just feel so bad for her. Life is so hard on like some of the more basic socialization aspects. That isn't something that comes naturally. And it feels a little bit to me also that she hasn't quite figured out who she is in public.
She's 16, right?
Exactly.
Can't remember if she's actually out yet. She must be. She was in London, so she must be out.
I'd be interested in that though, because presumably Darcy would have a bigger role if she was out.
Well, and Darcy was in London.
True. Yeah, so maybe he's been out with her, ushering her through the mating process that is that era.
The season.
Yes. She also is a person of significant means, and I think that that is just interesting to navigate through.
I think the reason that Mrs. Gardner and Lizzie are pitying her is partially, yes, pitying someone with social anxiety and their anxiety, the anxiety that they're feeling, but the fact that she's being thrust into specific roles, mm-hmm. that she has to act as hostess, that she has to deal with Mrs. Hurst and Caroline, that sort of aspect of it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I pity anyone who has to interact with Mrs. Hurst and Caroline at any time. So I get that too. It's just, it's interesting. Like if Jane Austen was alive today, I'd probably want to ask, what was the Darcy household like growing up?
Right. She would know, because you can tell that there's like a backstory here that we don't hear.
Yes. That she's fully developed these characters to have full lives. She's thought about them from birth up until this moment. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'd just be really curious about that. And that might be the question I ask if I was to ask a question about Pride and Prejudice, at least this far into it. Yeah, certainly those would be varying questions as we've gone through. But yeah, I'm just really curious, like, what'd that look like? Especially with how Jane Austen talks about parents and writes about parents.
I always think that Darcy's mom is his aunt's sister.
Darcy's mom is his aunt's sister.
Lady Catherine de Bourgh was his mom's sister. So are those two similar?
Oh God, could you imagine if that was their mother?
Right? Like, no wonder they would be prideful.
Yeah, because Lady Catherine de Bourgh is so proud.
Yeah, and as far as we know, and doesn't seem to have social anxiety, basically has no social filter at all.
Right. I get a lot of secondhand embarrassment reading about Lady Catherine de Bourgh. I wonder if their mother was like Lady Catherine, would they have had that same feeling of like, secondhand embarrassment?
Okay. So is that the social anxiety aspect of a lot of things? Because they watched that and they felt that embarrassment. And so they monitor their own behavior because they're worried that they're going to put their foot in their mouth. So they don't say anything at all. And then inevitably put their foot in their mouth.
I also, listening to that, it makes me wonder also about children are meant to be seen and not heard. Mm. And I can imagine if you have a mother like Lady Catherine, that's a personality that takes up so much space that you don't need to engage at all. Like, Lady Catherine could talk to the paintings on her walls and feel like she's having a fruitful conversation because she's talked the entire time. Maybe that's part of it too, is that just wasn't ever a need for them to talk. Huh. I guess this is very interesting because I want to think very fondly of their mom, and probably because she's dead, you know, that like, because we don't know anything really about her.
Mm-hmm. I have always assumed, and I don't think it's anywhere in canon, that she died in childbirth.
But even then, Darcy would have been, he's what, 10 years older?
Yeah. So Darcy would have been influenced, but she wouldn't have been influenced. Where did she learn it from?
Well, Darcy.
Yeah.
Also, we don't know a ton about their dad.
He was well-liked. And we also know that he got taken in by Wickham. I've always seen him, and maybe this is the wrong way to see it, but because he got taken in by Wickham, he was someone who was a little naive.
Mm, he's maybe a little naive. He's maybe a little soft. I don't know. I think I just really want to think very well of both of the Darcy parents. I'm just having a hard time picturing Darcy's mom like Lady Catherine. But maybe it's because I hate Lady Catherine so much that I don't want anyone to be like her. It's a very interesting thought, and we'll never know. Is the reality.
Right. And then we could write some great fanfic, just like all of these other ideas that we come up with.
It's true. A queer romance with very interesting parents.
So back to chapter 44, what did you think of Bingley showing up?
I mean, I like Bingley. I don't like Bingley all at once because I just wish he had a fucking backbone and was like, no, I love Jane. I'm going to be with her instead of listening to Darcy. He should have pulled a Little Mermaid and been like, but daddy, I love her. What a missed opportunity that is for two people to be so into each other and seemingly in love, or at least like at the beginning phases of love, because they don't really know each other that well. And for that to be dissipated and taken away, just, I don't know, it makes me a little sad and it makes me a little mad. I'm glad Bingley showed back up, because I figured he had to at some point. It just wouldn't be a good love story if he didn't. I do think it's very cute, though, that there's lots of times where he's like, so, Lizzie, how's your family? Tell me about your whole family. You really just want to know about Jane. It is a little cute. That's one of my notes when he asks about the whole family, and Lizzie's like, I know what he's asking about. I just wrote, oh, like, it's just, it's really endearing that he's still thinking about Jane. He hasn't moved on from this. My hope is that they still end up together, because I love love and I want love to win. I don't know if it happens, but I want love to win. And also, like, how cute would that be if Lizzie ended up with Darcy and Jane ended up with Bingley? Mm-hmm. And they were just like all best friends and all in love. And poor Charlotte was with Colin. would just be sad. But they could take her in and let her stay with them. Because even marrying Collins, she is still connected into Darcy and his family.
Only for a period of time.
Well, but then she'll also end up living in the Bennet estate. So, like, she's going to be connected in regardless. Anyways, I just envision the three of them, like, being on a walk, arms linked, best friend sisters, all living nearby and having a great time. There's something endearing about that that makes me happy. I still have hope that Jane and Bingley end up together. I don't know if it'll happen, but I do think him coming back, there's got to be an instance where he sees Jane again. Because there's no point in reintroducing him in this far into the book. He doesn't actually play that significant of a role in this in these chapters.
Right.
Other than he shows up and there's a little bit of like, ooh, will they, won't they? But it's a subplot Jane Austen could have left alone if something wasn't going to happen. So I am lodging an early prediction that he will see Jane again and maybe they'll fall in love and have babies.
Okay, your prediction is noted.
You're like, your prediction's so wrong.
I'm not saying anything.
Anyways, that's my early prediction as of right now. I'm curious. I don't know. Do you have other thoughts about it?
So Bingley coming back is just freaking adorable. There's a line in here where Lizzie is feeling anxious. She endeavored to give pleasure where prepossessed in her favor. Bingley was ready. Georgiana was eager. And Darcy determined to be pleased. And I just think it's really cute that they're like, Elizabeth, we love you. You can't do anything wrong. Just say hello and we'll be like, oh my God, we love you. They're fangirling over Lizzie a little bit. And they're just like, it's just like three little puppy dogs coming to meet Lizzie. And she's just a little nervous ball wreck.
It is like an interesting soup of people that gets thrown together.
Yeah. What do you think the gardeners thought of all of this?
They're just sitting on the sidelines eating popcorn, being like, this is hella interesting. I gotta keep watching. You know, like, they're caring and supportive without being pressuring, which is why they're sitting on the sidelines. There's something here. There's like maybe a magic something happening, and we're just along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that about them, that they're intrigued by it. I also think it's interesting that this is also the first time the gardeners have met Bingley. There's a line, not about Bingley, it's about Darcy and how he interacts with the gardeners, and Lizzie talking about how, like, literally a few weeks ago you were telling me how these people were trash and now you're treating them like the nicest people in the world, equals. And that was some of his objection to Bingley marrying Jane.
Some of his objection to him marrying Lizzie, he told her in the proposal.
Right. Mm-hmm. That, like, you have trash family. Yet they're just the most lovely people. I envision them also winning everyone over.
It's just like a group of gentle people meeting.
Yeah. This feels like those perfect sunny afternoon, sitting in the garden, drinking tea, relaxed type of interaction with limited pressure, but also knowing there's something buzzing in the air.
And then after they leave, you can tell that Lizzie's probably felt that energy too, but it's made her like buzzy nervous, because she lays in bed for 2 hours thinking about Darcy, where he is in his house and the changes in his behavior, and could he possibly still love me, and do I love him too? And obviously she's feeling the vibe.
Oh yeah. She wanted nothing to do with Darcy. And now she's like, oh wait, huh? Who's this guy? I do think, as much as Darcy's behavior is changing because of Lizzie, I also wonder if some of it is changing because he's just a little different when he's at home versus in other places where he doesn't know anyone.
I would agree, except we have seen him at Netherfield amongst more comfortable people than just society. I get that Caroline is there.
I was going to say, is being around Caroline and the Hursts really great company?
I get that, but I guess it's not just that he's a little more comfortable. It's that he's actually putting effort in.
Yes. Okay. I would agree with that. I feel like as we've gone through the book so far, every time we see Darcy, we like peel back a layer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like he's a good onion. What you get on the outside is not the same as what you're getting on the inside.
Okay. So he's not an onion then. He's like an orange.
No. I think there's still layers.
Yes. But you peel apart an onion and underneath is more onion. That's the point of that joke from Shrek when he said that he was an onion, is that there's lots of layers, but they're all the same.
See, I don't think all layers of onions are the same.
Okay.
I think you eventually get to the middle and they're the same, but the first few outer layers, very different. Okay. Let me try this metaphor again.
It's okay. I get what you're saying, that Darcy has lots of layers and we're peeling them all back.
And I think it's very sweet that every time we see Darcy, there's just a little bit more vulnerability. This is the guy who the first time we meet him, he's like, all these people are ugly and I don't know them and I don't want to talk to them. It is quite the shift.
He's grown.
He's grown a lot.
He's had a growth arc.
Darcy's very cute in these chapters for sure.
I think Lizzie's also kind of cute now. She's almost like embarrassed to see him and not sure what to say and happy that his good manners have continued, but also like he's being nice now. What do I do? I don't know what to do when Darcy's nice.
Well, because their relationship has been a sparring and both of them have enjoyed that. I think they've enjoyed it in different ways, but now Lizzie's like, oh, was I being mean? Huh. I have to rethink this. This is not the guy I thought he was.
Well, I actually think, and there's this line in here, and I'm going to read it. Gratitude, not merely for having once loved her, but for loving her still well enough to forgive all the petulance and acrimony of her manner in rejecting him and all the unjust accusations accompanying her rejection. She's realized that despite the fact that she's been a dick to Darcy, he likes her. And I wonder if she's sitting there in her bed thinking about these things and she's reflecting on the relationship and all of the times that she has been mean. And she's like, oh, he liked that. And if she's picked up a little bit of the fact that Darcy will like her, even if she is mean to him, even if she disagrees with him, even if they're not on the same page, he will continue to love her. And it's that unconditional love that she's been searching for.
Oh, I might like this guy. That is what I want. And it's not what I expected to be able to get.
That Darcy isn't looking to get anything out of a marriage from her other than her.
Yeah, right. And that she can be fully herself. That it's not Collins being like, you will be my wife in the way that I expect you to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the stuff that romance novels are made of. I have such an easy time putting myself in Lizzie's shoes in this. I can picture what that feels like.
Are you in love with Darcy yet?
I think I'm still a little apprehensive because I think sometimes he's still a dick.
Okay.
I think I'm where Lizzie's at with there's those initial butterflies of like, oh, what is that? This is here. That moment in a relationship is so exciting, or at least is played out to be really exciting in, you know, modern literature and things like that, that I like, it makes me hopeful for that one day.
Yeah. And I think this is a really good example. Romance is a really good way to understand what healthy relationships should look like and how they should feel. And that having the expectation that Lizzie has of wanting to be loved for yourself and not just what you bring to a relationship. It's not your material wealth. It's not that you look super hot. It's for you. And that's why someone loves you. Is a really healthy thing to want and need from a relationship.
And I think that that is why Jane Austen stands the test of time.
So how do you think some of those themes around the Lizzie and Darcy interaction continue into chapter 45?
Clearly, chapter 45, we come into now they're at his house. And again, it's that feeling, that initial infatuation feeling that we learn from Lizzie of, I want him to come in, but I don't want him to come in. Is he going to come in? Is he not? That feeling of when you're falling for someone and every fiber of your being is just so acutely aware of where they might be. Mm-hmm. It's that staying awake at 2 a.m. thinking about, where is he right now? Is he in his house? Is he thinking about me? Now I'm in his house. Where is he? Is he going to come in the door? I don't know. Do I want him to come in the door? It's like every fiber of your being tingling. I can't stop thinking about this person. And it's so cute. And then he shows up and she's like, oh, I still don't know how I feel about this. I'm happy he's here, but I'm not happy he's here because he's here and it's scary and there's a lot and just a lot of feelings that come up.
And you can feel that along with Lizzie.
You feel it in your body of like, whoa, when's he going to show up? I want to know. And I do think it's just very cute that he's like, I really want her to get to know my sister really well and his sister putting in a little bit more effort. There's just both of them in this scenario. And clearly everyone observing them is like, oh, there's some fireworks going off over there, which I just love.
Darcy is very clearly making his interest known. He was out with some other guys doing some fishing. Mr. Gardner shows up and he's like, the ladies are visiting the house. And Darcy said, bye. And went right to the house.
So, like, yeah, he ditched everyone. Uh-huh.
And I have this image of him like sprinting back to, like, waiting until he's out of sight of everybody, sprinting back to the house and then slowing down when he gets to the house and making sure he looks nice before he comes into the room. And yeah, I think it is really sweet that he's trying to get Georgiana and Lizzie to be friends. But yeah, they're just cute and awkward and everybody is just, there's a line in there even about how everybody is watching them interact or not interact.
Yeah, everyone in that room is acutely aware that there's something going on here and there's something to pay attention to. In particular, Caroline, who I just hate her so much. So annoying. She's just like, from the moment Lizzie walks in the door, she's like, oh, it's you. Hello. Does not care. Doesn't even pretend to put on any civilities. And I will say, so we were talking about Bingley and how I really want Bingley to end up with Jane. But all I can think about is, that means that Lizzie would have to see Caroline more frequently. They would be entangled in each other's lives. And I guess I'm realizing that in every family system that we've seen in this book, there is always someone connected who you're like, God, that's a horrible family member to have connected to you, right? Like Darcy, it's Lady Catherine. Lizzie, it's her parents and her younger sisters. Bingley, it's his sister. Even Charlotte, she's now married to Collins.
Oh, and her parents.
Yeah, there's, everyone has someone in their life who you're like, are they worth the trade-off?
Mm.
And it's just, it's so fascinating to me.
But I think the easy answer in all of these circumstances is yes, except maybe Charlotte, because she has to marry Collins. But in all of these circumstances, the answer is yes, because they are a peripheral person who isn't going to continuously impact your life. And if you love this person significantly enough, you will put up with those interactions.
Yes. Although I do find it hard for me to picture being with someone who didn't like my family.
I think there is a difference between actively disliking and not, and finding them annoying.
Right.
I think you're going to dislike the Lady Catherines, but put up with it because you have to. You're going to find the Mrs. Bennets and Mr. Bennets irritating. Maybe Mr. Bennet, I figure like he probably would get along with his son-in-laws pretty well. Anyway, the Mrs. Bennets are irritating, but easier to put up with because there's not that condescension there. There's the self-centeredness, but in a much more like whirly twirly way. And also, again, not people you're going to have to see frequently. Like I could do a Sunday dinner with Mrs. Bennet. I could probably even get through a Sunday dinner with Lady Catherine once a week if I had to, if I loved the person enough. That's the point, is that if you love someone enough, those people won't matter.
Right. It's just lovely. I'd still hate Caroline. She's still drives me nuts. And granted, I don't know how much Lizzie would actually have to interact with her. Jane certainly would more, but Lizzie would still be a little, like, they travel in similar circles, but.
And Caroline's been nice to Jane.
I think because she doesn't see Jane as a threat. Carolyn is like, she just steps in it every time she comes into the story. She steps in it by bringing up Wickham and doesn't even know that she is.
That Darcy and Wickham don't have a good relationship. She knows that much at least. And I think she knows a bit about the background in terms of the things that are public knowledge in terms of mm-hmm. Wickham from Darcy's perspective. So she knows when she's bringing this up that she is going to be poking Darcy at the same time she's poking Lizzie. She doesn't know that she's poking Georgiana.
Yes. And Lizzie, you know, kind of says that and is like, if she knew, probably be smarter not to bring it up.
Yeah, because she's causing Georgiana pain.
Right. And she feigns that Georgiana is her friend. I don't actually think that they're friends, but she feigns that they're friends. And so if she actually cared about her and knew, which she doesn't, she wouldn't bring it up.
This is just another example of Caroline trying to put Lizzie off or put Lizzie down or remind Darcy of bad things about Lizzie and it backfiring on her completely, which is what we see. Mm-hmm. Darcy then pays more attention to Lizzie.
Every time she tries to put Lizzie down, all she does is draw attention to her. And really, like, she ends up making herself look bad.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think she has the wherewithal to know that that's what's happening.
Yeah, she's got a little bit of obliviousness there. I think that it's kind of summed up in the end of this chapter where she's trying really hard to put Lizzie down and like not realizing that she's not having the effect that she wants. And then Darcy just smacks down and he's like, nope, she's the prettiest woman I know. And she's the highest person in my esteem. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm. She's saying a lot without thinking about what she's saying is always what it feels like. And so I appreciate that Darcy is like, no, like it's not going to happen. And I think part of it too, is that when we think about like love and how like Darcy and Lizzie are starting to fall for each other, Darcy loves Lizzie unconditionally. I don't actually think Carolyn's in love with Darcy. I think she's in love with either the idea of him or the money and the status that he comes with. And so it's a very contrasting experience. If she was madly head over heels for him, I think I would maybe feel a little bit differently about her. She really deeply cares about this person, really deeply wants to be with this person and doesn't know how. It doesn't come across that way that she actually sees or knows Darcy. It's that she wants the status.
There's a part of me that wonders if she does know Darcy, but she knows Darcy before his growth arc. And she's in love with Darcy basically at the start of the book, where they were besties who like hung out at the party and said bad things about people behind their backs and gossiped all the time. Because she even says it in here that Darcy said when they were talking about Lizzie and that she was a reputed beauty, and that Darcy said, she a beauty? I should as soon call her mother a wit. And like, this is a conversation that they had at the time. And it was probably something that she felt bonded with him over, was that in that they made fun of people together and it was mm-hmm. their thing. Cause there's a part of it where she's talking about at Lucas Lodge where they're just dancing and she says, basically, this is a boring way to spend an evening. And he's like, no, I was thinking about fine eyes. But there's like a banter in that interaction that she's trying to go for that she doesn't get response for. So I wonder if there's also like a little bit of they had an established friendly relationship, that there was a friendliness between them that she read into.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, Darcy did that with Lizzie. He took her sparring with him as a friendliness and as an interest, right? So it's not unheard of for there to be something similar happening between them. Yeah, I guess she's not showing any growth is the thing. She's pulling the same tricks she did when they were at Netherfield. Nothing's really changed for her.
Even when they were at Netherfield, Caroline's flirting was falling flat and it still is.
She cannot flirt to save her life. It's just like, she's not good at it. Not good at it at all. And because her flirting is putting someone else down, it just doesn't work. I do think it's really cute at the very end of that chapter that Lizzie and the gardeners go home and they talk about everything but Darcy. And there's this feeling of we're talking about it without talking about it. But no one wants to broach the subject yet. I really wish someone like Jane was there for Lizzie so Lizzie could have someone to talk to about it with. I think Jane would maybe broach the subject, whereas everyone else is like, I can't touch that yet. Or Lizzie might feel comfortable enough to broach it with Jane.
It's almost like the Gardeners don't want to overstep. They're respecting mm-hmm. Lizzie's boundaries. So like, yes, if Mrs. Bennet would be there, we would have the full truth. But this wouldn't be a sweet scenario then.
No, it'd be a horrible scenario. She would already be picking out the like wedding pattern, like all the details. She'd have them married mm-hmm. already if Mrs. Bennet was there. Which is why I think someone like Jane, who is a little softer, she's a confidant. I could see that being really beneficial.
I don't know if at this point Lizzie is, at the end of chapter 45, ready to admit she has feelings.
That's fair. I think it'll be interesting to see as it evolves who she talks to about it first.
What did you think of chapter 46?
My entire synopsis of chapter 46 is what the fuck? Oh my God, so much happens in this chapter. Just, it baffles me also that it starts with the mail was sent to the wrong place. So she's learning days later about what is happening at home and that how messy that is. And it evokes a lot of when you miss that phone call and something big happens and you don't know. And that like bittersweet time in memory then, oh, my life was going normally. Well, everything else was hitting the fan and I didn't know it. So I think that is just very poignant to me. And the big thing that comes out of this is, what the fuck are you doing, Lydia? You know, I know we've been pretty harsh on Lydia and that there is a bit of a struggle with her sometimes. I just can't picture what was going through her mind in those moments. So I'm struggling with Lydia again of like, what are you doing, you idiot?
I think, and Lizzie talks about this in her reaction to the news, that Lydia was basically predisposed to seem or assume she's in love with anyone who shows her attention. I think there's a lot of victim blaming that can happen towards Lydia, and Lydia is annoying. And we can even see the culture of victim blaming in the way that this is talked about. She had no difficulty in believing that neither her virtue nor her understanding would preserve her from falling an easy prey. And even in this, they're talking about how Lydia is prey, but also still affording her some of the blame for not protecting herself or being more vigilant. I think the fact that Lydia is predisposed to basically fall for anyone who shows her attention shows the actual limited amount of attention she probably got and definitely needed from her family and parental figures, and probably socially too.
Yeah.
She's 16. And if someone who's in their 20s is showing you attention, a handsome, super freaking hot guy. Remember, Wickham, super, super, super hot. And he's showing you attention. Of course you're going to feel swoony over that. You're 16.
Right. And I guess I should clarify that I'm frustrated with Lydia, what are you doing type way, but also recognizing that Lydia, she's been put into a scenario where there's no win. Her parents sent her off to go be with the militia, being like, yeah, whatever, go. Sure, you've been invited, it's fine. With people they don't really know. There's no parental guidance. And they've sent her off to live with all these men, which who set that scenario up? And I think being reminded that she's 16, so is Georgiana, and she also got taken in by Wickham and his charms and good looks mm-hmm. and convincing her that it would be something that it wasn't. And I feel immense sadness for her. And so I guess I am trying to cultivate that sadness in me for Lydia. Well, also still recognize that I might have been a Lydia when I was 16.
Oh, I think we all were a little bit Lydia when we were 16.
Yeah. And so I think some of the frustration is I could see myself ending up in that scenario. And so like there's a little bit of my own projection and that it's sad. It's just sad.
I guess I feel some kinship with Lydia in a lot of ways because I was taken in by Wickham and I understand those feelings. This is the first person who's showing me actual attention and claiming to have desire to want to be with me forever. That feels really good when you've never had it. And when you've been taught that that's the thing that you should be seeking.
When you grew up in a household, not great attachment, not great affection. And you've been put out into society way too early. She doesn't have guidance on love or partnership or like just how to engage in the world.
Which is why I almost wonder if Jane or Lizzie had been married before she came out, if the guidance that she would have received would have been different.
It's totally possible. Because I think we see it in this scenario that Jane and Lizzie have to step into that parentified role. And I think had one of them been married, their sister's coming out processes and courting processes would have fallen under their responsibility quite a bit. They would have been the ones ushering them through society.
And exposing them to different society.
Exactly. And in some ways they already are, but they're also limited by their circumstances and they don't have the option to expand that network.
Well, and I guess the reason that I think about it is because up till this point, we are led to believe that neither Jane or Lizzie has had a romantic interest, has fallen in love. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the entire family, none of these five women, some women and some teenagers, have had an interaction with love. Mm-hmm. So it's new for all of them. So I think that's part of why Lizzie and Jane can't guide their younger sisters through things is because they haven't had a relationship themselves.
Well, they haven't had a relationship themselves and their parents don't particularly have a loving relationship. It's not even like they've seen examples of that. Their parents really don't have that much of a relationship at all. Mrs. Bennett's kind of off in her own world, self-centered, and Mr. Bennett's with his books. They're not really a partnership to base things off of either. And so, Right. Yeah, so there's really no guidance for someone like Lydia in this household.
And you can see in the way that Jane is relaying how Mrs. Bennett reacted by basically saying that she's too ill and retreating to her room, and Mr. Bennett being shocked, never in his life so affected, that they, it's like Mrs. Bennett is not moving into a role of being a parent and Mr. Bennett's realizing how much he's failed.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see Jane, she's having to be in charge of everything because her parents are not. And the parentified role becomes even more solid in this chapter with Jane basically taking care of things and like wishing and hoping that Lizzie will come home and then writing, please come home. And that Lizzie just wants to be there for Jane. That's her goal, is to get there so that she can take some of this pressure off Jane.
Yeah, it's not about her family. It's about her family, but it's not about her parents and making sure they're okay. She's like, they're going to do their own thing, but Jane and I have to figure this out for the whole family. We have to take care of this. And she's very clear of, I have to be home for Jane. I have to be home right this second. And I think even in Jane being the one to ask that Mr. Gardner goes to London to assist Mr. Bennett, who's looking for Lydia, which I have a hard time picturing what Mr. Bennett in London looks like looking for his daughter. I just can't picture it. It's like, it's this very weird, I don't know what's going on. But the fact that Jane's the one who has to ask of like, hey, can you send dad some help too? Because he's going to need it, is so telling. None of them know what's going on or what to do. And granted, like, in this scenario, no one would really know what to do or what's going on.
Yeah, there's a level of panic.
Mm-hmm. But Jane's the one who's relaying everything and figuring everything out to coordinate it. Yeah, just again, it makes me a little sad that Jane and Lizzie end up in these parentified roles.
Yeah. And then Lizzie finishes her letter and goes to get the gardeners. And who's there, Teresa?
Darcy, which like, why is he there? We never know. We never find out because Lizzie's just mm-hmm. like, I got to go. I'm sorry. Out of my way. Yeah. And he's like, you don't look so good. Should we send someone else?
Yeah. Let me go. Let one of the servants go. You need to sit down.
Yeah. Because that's not good. And I think there's this like really beautiful thing that happens in this, that Darcy has been really vulnerable with Lizzie and shared what happened with Georgiana and shared a family secret. And Lizzie could have said like, something bad's happened at home. I can't talk about it. But she's vulnerable with him back and shares what's going on in her household and in her family. And it feels like a very strong bonding moment to me.
Yeah, there's an intimacy.
Yeah, that they're able to talk about things in this intimate way with each other that just feels so trusting. There's a trust between them now. And I will say, I had a little bit of a hard time paying attention to all the Darcy stuff happening in this as well, because I was so focused on like, what the fuck is happening with Wickham and Lydia, that like, he's kind of there, but also not, which I think is a little bit also what happens with Darcy, is that like, he's in the room, but he's also like, I don't know what to do.
There's a piece of this where he sits with her and she's crying. She's just bawling her eyes out. Darcy, in wretched suspense, could only say something indistinctly of his concern and observe her in compassionate silence. He's just sitting with her while she's crying. And that is the only comfort that he has access to, because touching her would be improper. Mm-hmm. They don't have that level of intimacy. He doesn't have consent to do that. The only thing he can do is just sit there and wait. And there's something about that where he just sits and he waits and he doesn't push her and he doesn't judge. And he knows that for her to have this reaction, there's something huge that's happened. It increases that idea of intimacy for me, because he's just willing to be there and wait. Like, to me, I don't know, there's something that just feels so sweet about that.
Yeah, it's very sweet. There's no pressure one way or the other. I'm just here. It almost feels like it's Darcy at his most relaxed. Well, I think probably his most anxious.
His most genuine.
He's just there in the moment. Nothing else he's thinking of. I will say, there was part of me that read this and was like, I want Darcy to like stand up as soon as he hears that like Wickham's involved and be like, I will go hunt the man down and bring him to justice. I really wanted that. And that doesn't happen.
No, Darcy's all awkward.
Yeah.
And he's like, grieved, shocked, grieved indeed.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I guess it means you can't hang with my sister anymore. That's sad. Like, it's just like this moment of, Darcy, step up to the plate. But he, like, it's not proper for him to necessarily. And so I get it. But there was part of me that was like, I just want him to mm-hmm. go in and be superhero Darcy, save the day.
And Lizzie perceives his reaction to mean that he's distancing himself from her mm-hmm. and her family, and that he basically now cannot marry her at all because of the scandal that Lydia's brought by running away with Wickham.
In Lizzie's perspective, like, he detailed out in minute detail mm-hmm. how horrible her family was and that this would be a reason not to marry her.
Yes.
And then you throw this on top of it. Like, yeah, of course this guy's not going to marry you. Your family's a wreck.
I do think even when he is leaving and he is kind of that awkward mess that he is, I like the line, nor have I anything to plead in excuse of my stay, but real though unavailing concern. And then I really like, but I will not torment you with vain wishes, which may seem purposely to ask you for your thank. He's not going to give her thoughts and prayers.
Right. Well, because he knows it's not going to help.
I know I can't say anything to make this better. I'm going to GTFO.
Which is sometimes like the thing that needs to be said, is like, there's right. nothing that I say that changes that your sister's run off with a guy who is a sleazeball. He can't. There's nothing he can say. And he intimately knows that. There's nothing that anyone could have said to him when it was his sister that would have made a difference. It is very interesting. I do find myself thinking about, I'm just trying to picture what's going through Lydia and Wickham's minds in these moments. Where'd they go? What are they doing? I find myself wondering, at what point does Lydia realize, oh shit, this is not what I thought it was. Now I'm scared. I picture her very scared right now, if she's figured it out. Oh, actually, we're not going to Scotland to get married. You've taken me somewhere else. And now I'm scared because I don't know what's going to happen. And you're a 20-something year old man who can do whatever he wants because you're a man. And I'm a 16-year-old lost. I can't even imagine how scary that would be.
Right. Yeah, it would be. Yeah. And then Darcy, he leaves. And it's awkward and weird. And it's in that moment that Lizzie realizes she's in love with Darcy. That moment of, it's never going to happen. Oh, fuck, I wish it would.
Yeah, that this is too much for him. He doesn't want me anymore.
Yeah.
I really want that.
And there's a little bit of sadness for herself, but she has to put that all aside and box it all up. The gardeners come back and she has to retell the story again. And Mrs. Gardner's like, well, what about, we'll have to send word to Pemberley. What about tea? She's like, Darcy was here and he'll tell her.
And they're like, what?
Darcy was here. He knows what's happened. She's like, yep. And they're like, okay, so there must be an intimacy between them for him to be aware of what has happened.
Right. Why'd she tell him if you wouldn't, they're not telling their other friends in town what's happened. They're making up stories.
Yeah.
But he knows.
He knows. So the gardeners are suspicious some more. And then Elizabeth says, that is all settled. And they're like, that is all settled? What does that mean?
Right. What's all settled? What's going on here?
Please be clear. But they don't say that because they're sweet and they're not pushers.
Well, and like, it's the least of their concerns at this moment.
Yeah. But it is, I think, a little interesting query that they're still having about trying to navigate and figure out the relationship between Darcy and Lizzie.
Yeah. Like, what's actually happening here? What's actually going on? I think that this chapter feels so big. It's the type of chapter that I could see as someone who's read this book many times. You take different things from it every time you read it. It is definitely, we're hitting the climax of the story, but I'm really intrigued on where things progress from here. Do we find Lydia ever again? Does she just disappear into the world and die? Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Lydia. And I think I feel relieved because Lizzie's going home to try and get some answers, support her sister, figure it out. So I feel okay while also still holding. There's so much unknown happening right now.
So your initial comment about lack of anxiety, does that still stand now that we've reviewed through everything?
I think there is still that comfort of Lizzie's going home. Things will work out. I think, you know, we're close enough to the end of the book that things have to work out in some way. As far as I'm aware, Jane Austen isn't a like leave things to giant cliffhangers at the end of a book that has no sequel to it. So we're close enough to the end that I figure things have to work out, but there is a lot up in the air. Like, what's going to happen with Jean and Bingley? What's going to happen with Lizzie and Darcy? What's happening with Lydia and Wickham? What's going on? There is a lot of questions still unanswered. And so if I'm making predictions, I still want Jane and Bingley to be together. That's still my early prediction that they will at least interact again. And okay, cool. Here's my new follow through on this. I think that Darcy is going to convince everyone to go to Netherfield. Bingley and the sisters and him are all going to go to Netherfield so he can be close to Lizzie while all this shit is happening to try and figure it out. And that's when Jane and Bingley will see each other again.
Okay.
And I really hope someone like impales Wickham just on anything. I don't really care what. I just hope he gets impaled because I really hate him. And I'm hoping for the safe return of Lydia.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are my predictions / hopes.
Yeah. So what's your favorite quote?
So my favorite quote you've already read out, but it's just such a powerful moment about Lizzie and love and Darcy and just all the feelings. It's the loving her still well enough to forgive all the petulance and acrimony of her manner in rejecting him. I love that quote so much because it really shows the unconditional love that Darcy has for Lizzie in that he's been rejected. He probably thinks there's no hope in the world. And even in that, he still loves her. It's just very heartwarming to me that the end goal doesn't have to be being together and you can still love someone.
Yeah. He will love her even if she doesn't love him back.
Exactly. Which just feels so lovely to me.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What's your favorite quote?
I really like, but angry people are not always wise. And I think it sums up how sometimes when we are angry, we don't always act in our best interest.
Yeah. That's such a poignant line and so true even to this day. Anger is not always our most wisest emotion.
Yeah, it can be wise, but we need to think about it before we act on it.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited for what's coming next because, oh boy, it's going to be a doozy. Mm-hmm. What chapters are we reading next?
We're going to do 47, 48, and 49.
Okay. Well, if people are really enjoying it, definitely keep listening. And you can follow us on social media at Austen Therapy Podcast on Instagram and Kate's meme account, which is at Austen Therapy, also on Instagram. We've been posting some favorite quotes as well as some video clips related to the podcast. So hopefully people have been enjoying those. We certainly have a good time listening back to those clips that Kate pulls out. So I hope people are really enjoying that.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us. And we look forward to having you here with us next time.
Bye.